This hour of The Drive with Tay and Piper is brought to you by Ryan Dallas Real Estate.
Planning to sell your home? The choice is clear. Ryan Dallas Real Estate, number one in homes sold, number one in client satisfaction, with a home sold every 9 hours. Ryan Dallas Real Estate, online at RyanDallasRE.com.
It's showtime.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh, Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy. Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not.
When we come back, I don't know what we're going to talk about.
If you're going to talk about this.
It's 4:40. We haven't taken a break, and Lon's forgotten the text line number.
Woohoo!
I have no idea where you're going with that.
Eberflus. Hey, good morning. It's The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lonte practicing the new Bears coach's name.
Just call him Matt.
Matty
E.
That'd
be familiar.
Yeah. I refuse to get into the Matt Ryan thing, and you just took me down that worm. That worm? That worm rabbit hole. Whatever that's called.
Rabbit hole, yeah.
He is Derek Piper. I'm Lonte. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. Trevor Valise here as well. Matt Eberflus is the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. He was the defensive coordinator for the Colts, and they certainly had a pretty solid defense. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to hear from Aaron Lemming, our guy, writer for the Bear Report, is going to join us at 4:20. We'll get his thoughts not only on Matt, but also Ryan Poles, now the new GM with the Chicago Bears. So everything is in place now for a Super Bowl run in Chicago.
Yeah.
Give me your quick take on this, Derek Piper.
It's not Jim Caldwell, so I'm a little bit happy about that. A guy that's been in the NFL for one of the last five seasons.
Yes.
And an offensive head coach who's never had a dual threat quarterback. So I was completely out on Jim Caldwell and Bill Polian and say, hey, let's stay relevant here in Chicago. Let's
Caldwell's
take this
got a good
over.
Win-loss record.
Yeah.
Of course, Peyton Manning helped that.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be a Matt Eberflus expert or even Ryan Poles, who's another young GM. Comes from the Chiefs, where he was part of their scouting department and piecing around. I'm not saying he was solely responsible for Patrick Mahomes, and now we got him. But he knows what it looks like in terms of piecing the weapons around Mahomes and elevating him in the right way, and you're hoping that Justin Fields can do the same thing. Matt Eberflus is... had two really good defenses the last two years in the Colts. I wouldn't say that they're in that top five, maybe just outside.
Fair enough.
Think statistically, they were in that range. So I personally preferred, and maybe it's just kind of that easy fan reaction to say, we have hopefully our franchise quarterback. Let's get an offensive mind who's going to be able to get the most out of Justin Fields. That is the biggest key to the Bears getting to where they want to go. And the fact that your head man is not technically that guy, can he hire the right offensive coordinator? Of course, then if you do, then he's probably going to be a head coach, and you just got turnover and change there. I know a lot of people in Chicago have referenced the Lovie Smith era and having a defensive coach with a lot of different OCs. Of course, then we learned in Champaign, well, actually, Lovie's just terrible at hiring staff. So maybe that was a one-off for Lovie. I don't know. We'll see. Bears have to earn back the trust of the fan base. And I know Aaron Lemming will probably say the same thing.
I would assume that Ryan Poles came in when he was hired. He signed the signature where it made him official. And then he went and said, all right, who was responsible for not drafting Patrick Mahomes? Because he's about ready to lose a job. That's probably what I would say if I was in Ryan Poles' position, whether or not he is there. Now, Scott in Terre Haute, so he's over close to Indy. Colts were almost dead last in fourth quarter defense. Terrible. So, you know, what a weird year for the Colts. I know this is off topic, but what, they lost like their first three games, and you wondered, okay, well, maybe they're still a year away getting Jonathan Taylor rolling, and then they're really good in the middle of the season and for majority of the season. Then they what, lose their last three or something, including at Jacksonville, when all they had to do was win
all
to get to the playoffs.
Beat Jacksonville.
And now they're what, 0 for the last six, I think, against the Jaguars in Jacksonville, which in itself is a very strange, just kind of historical fact, I guess.
Yeah, at least have a respectable losing streak, like against the Packers.
Right. See, you got that going for you. So we'll let Aaron Lemming break it down more. You know, I was thinking about this today because my team, of course, the Cardinals, a lot of fans upset with Cliff Kingsbury.
Yes.
And it got me thinking today about Matt Eberflus as well. And I thought to myself, how important is the head coach, or is it more important just to have the quarterback? And I don't know. You know, I mean, it's one of those where obviously a head coach makes a lot of different decisions, not only with staffing and, you know, during games, et cetera. So obviously a coach matters, and you can go through the record books and find those coaches. I mean, you don't have to look any further than Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin to understand how great of a coach he is and what he's done with that organization, who has consistently won throughout my entire life. But it is interesting. Like, I guess if you gave me the one option or the other, I'm definitely taking the quarterback. So in regards to what you just said, make sure you have somebody that is going to hold Justin Fields' hands, because while he had a lot on his shoulders, and really there weren't a lot of rookie quarterbacks that really made that huge of an impact this season, let's be honest. I mean, probably in New England would be Mac Jones, right? Would probably have the best year of the quarterbacks, unless I'm just grossly missing someone. But it's, to me, that's your stepping stone. That's the most important part here, is making sure that Justin Fields makes the kind of steps and improvement to where by year three, year four, now all of a sudden you've got what you feel is a franchise quarterback that is going to be around for a while and be able to lead your team to playoffs.
Right, and I think that if Ryan Poles does his job correctly, he'll fix an offensive line that's been terrible. He'll put more weapons around Justin Fields, and that in itself will allow Justin Fields to flourish and develop. But you do want that head coach. And you could say, I was thinking the same thing about Cliff Kingsbury, for all the criticism thrown his way. There's no question about the fit between the coach and the quarterback.
No doubt.
Like, what he runs, how he's trying to win games fits exactly with Kyler Murray.
That is true.
And that goes hand in hand. You also look around the league and who's left in the playoffs. Cincinnati, Zach Taylor, offensive head coach. Andy Reid, offensive head coach. Kyle Shanahan, offensive
Good
head
call.
Coach. Sean McVay, offensive head coach. Not that Bill Belichick's done it for a long time as a defensive
Amen.
Head coach. You mentioned Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh in
yep.
Baltimore.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson won an MVP without an offensive head coach.
Good
so
call.
It can be done, but I even look at some teams that were eliminated, like Matt LaFleur with Aaron Rodgers, or there's a lot of, or the way the Dolphins are going,
yeah.
I saw they're like three finalists. And that was one thing about the Bears. They narrowed their finalists before they hired their GM, which
right.
really
is weird.
Is backwards.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
I hope that Ryan Poles wasn't told, okay, we've done your work for
yeah,
you. You got three guys and you get to choose. And there's even reports that Polian's all upset that it wasn't Caldwell because he had narrowed it down and guided George McCaskey in doing this. I would have liked to have seen Brian Daboll get interviewed, the OC for the Bills, and all that he's done in terms of putting Josh Allen in the right situations. And you could even take something from that, even just interviewing him to pick his brain there. But ultimately, I don't know. I'm going to have to let it play out. We'll see. And I know Lindy weighed in on the text line about his Raiders. Josh McDaniels interviewing there tomorrow. Maybe
is he?
Maybe that one's going to happen. Offensive guy as well.
Yeah, right. And a guy that has just basically stayed with Belichick in New England forever and turned down, ironically, the Colts job. I don't know why I said ironically, although we're talking about a Colts guy here. But, you know, he turned that down essentially and wanted to stay in New England. So we'll see. We'll see if that's a guy that decides to head that way. It will be interesting. And, of course, Denver today hires, is it Hackett? He was the offensive coordinator for the Packers. You've got a Denver squad that I believe, if I heard this correctly, has like $50 million of cap space. They have like 11 draft picks. So this is a big time for Denver. But in your mind, did they hire him strictly to bring Aaron Rodgers to Denver? I mean, could you blame them? Could you blame them if that was the case?
No, not at all.
And Aaron Rodgers is not like, you know, he's going from a really cold area to another colder area in Denver. So it's not as though that's going to scare him. As long as he doesn't end up in San Francisco, I'm absolutely fine. And if Aaron Rodgers wants to go to the AFC, I'm absolutely fine as well.
He's going
to
have to be traded.
Yes.
And I would not imagine, similar to the Packers dealing Brett Favre, would not trade him. Definitely not within the division, but
right.
would prefer to trade him out of conference than have to meet up with him in the postseason, unless it were the Super Bowl, although they don't have to worry about that because they don't get the Super Bowls here recently, and they definitely won't when Aaron Rodgers is gone and they have Jordan Love.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The other note also, in terms of like one thing about the offensive coach, we had one in Matt Nagy, although he was a detriment.
Yeah.
So when you don't have the right guy
right.
helping the quarterback along, that shows the importance of getting that right, and that's why I wanted your top of the order of command, whatever, being that guy, because it opens up more possibilities for who you can hire. You can't just say, okay, we got our head coach, now let's go find the best OC. Well, you're not going to make it a lateral move from OC to OC.
Right.
I wish it was a guy I could say, okay, look what he's done at his previous stop. I have full confidence that he's going to elevate Justin Fields. And I don't have that yet.
And it's funny, like generational here. Like I'm like a generation ahead of you in terms of age, right? And my entire life, it seemed like the Bears were always pretty good. And of course, they lived with defense, yep. right? Back in the days of Dick Butkus, Mike Singletary, that crew, Brian Urlacher. I mean, it was always... You know, the Bears certainly had Walter Payton. They had Gale Sayers. Don't get me wrong. They've had some unbelievable offensive side of the ball. But it seemed like me growing up and through my adult life of when I think of the Bears, I think of defense. I truly do. And so with a guy like me, I think, okay, well, Matt Eberflus makes a lot of sense for a Bears organization that has kind of held their hat or whatever you're trying, I'm trying to say. I can talk today. I just can't formulate these little phrases. But the sense that it is kind of interesting to hear you talk about that, though, because I think you're and who knows? Matt Eberflus may come in and be an exceptional hire, and he may do some crazy things. But it is all about that quarterback, isn't it? Like Arizona was talking about, fans were like, well, get rid of Kingsbury and hire Jim Harbaugh. And I'm like, Jim Harbaugh, Kyler Murray. I don't see the connection there. I mean, Harbaugh's going to try to run the ball and play defense, and Kyler's going to be like, yeah, I don't think I was brought here to just hand the ball off. So I don't. It would be interesting to see. I'm anxious to hear what Aaron Lemming thinks of that. And am I wrong that Matt Eberflus, now look, I don't sit down every night and look at these coaching searches. I did when Arizona's job was open, so I haven't been sitting there staring at this, but I don't think I had really even thought about Matt Eberflus until like 2 days ago when my buddy Mark Silverman said it on an SIU radio game with Mike Reese, where he said, well, I think he could be the guy. And I'm like, who? And I was like, oh, that guy. So I don't know. It's your squad.
It seemed to boil down to Dan Quinn, Jim Caldwell, yes. and Matt Eberflus. And there was talk for a little while about maybe Eberflus was leaning towards Jacksonville. But now it looks like maybe they're going to hire Byron Leftwich.
Okay.
Another offensive guy.
Yeah.
We're just left out in the cold with defense. I understand. That's kind of what we've been built on. I know we haven't really gone anywhere.
Yeah.
But 2018 was fun. We had a great defense and Mitch Trubisky, no quarterback.
Oh,
and
boy. Hey, he's a free agent, by the way.
Yeah.
I had a Steelers fan in the office today. I do let them in.
He wants Mitch Trubisky?
No. But they were talking about how it was a he, and they were talking about how with Ben Roethlisberger now basically retiring, that guy was around forever. Ben Roethlisberger, what a career! 2 Super Bowls, unfortunately, one right in front of my face, literally in Tampa. But what a career! And then they were talking about how this guy said, "Yeah, Pittsburgh's—they're adamant they're not going to draft a quarterback." And I'm like, "Well, who's available?" And so I pulled up a free agent quarterback tracker, and there was Mitch Trubisky. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Andy Dalton.
They can take him.
I mean, he can make his run through that division.
Sure.
You know, just
take Nick Foles while you're at it.
Right,
as well.
Do it all. All right. So Dirk says, agreed. We need an offensive coordinator to coach up Fields. Not a good hire. It's a cheap hire, which is what McCaskies are always known for.
It's so much about that passing game, because look at Cincinnati when everyone said they have a horrible offensive line.
Yeah.
Take the offensive tackle and no, get the receiver, let Burrow just open that up with the weapons and go. And there he is in the AFC title game.
Correct. And I think it's fun. Carmen said, lost all respect for McDaniels when he accepted the Indy head coach job and then backed out shortly after, scared he couldn't do it on his own, or he's waiting for Bill to move on. I would assume more of the latter, in the sense that he's thinking, okay, eventually I'm going to be able to replace Bill, but I don't know when Bill's going to finally call it quits there. So I don't know. Scott also said, I don't know why no one has hired Harbaugh, proven winner, Bear's still a joke. Who knows? It could be something simple as Jim Harbaugh's agent is saying to all the NFL teams he's not going anywhere. He wants to stay at Michigan. He's a Michigan guy. But, you know, Jim Harbaugh did pretty well in San Francisco. I mean, with the Niners, he did pretty well. So it's something that could be interesting. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Aaron Lemming, writer for the Bear Report, he will give us all the goods on both of these hires. Ryan Poles as GM, also Matt Eberflus as the new head coach. We'll do that. We got a little Trev's ticket at the end of the show. Haven't done that for a long time, so we'll get that back and going. And then we've got a little afternoon delight college basketball in the Big Ten. As I say that, Brad Davison knocks down a three. Wisconsin leading Nebraska 17-16. Trevor and I had a funny moment. We're sitting here. Trevor said it best. He's like, is there a chance Wisconsin could have like a 4 o'clock kind of a really bad effort, and then the next thing you know, there's a rebound. There's four Nebraska guys around the basket, and the ball goes out of bounds. And I'm like, okay, never mind. It is Nebraska. All right, Aaron Lemming next. Quick break. It is The Drive. College basketball season is finally here. Gear up to support your Fighting Illini basketball team at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. From basketball jerseys to T-shirts and NIL merchandise, Game Day Spirit is the one-stop shop for all Illini basketball fans this season. Shop with them in-store in Champaign at the corner of Neal and Kirby, in Campustown at the corner of 6th and Green, or online at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit. Where Illini fans shop.
UC Bank is committed to the communities we call home. Since we first opened our doors, we have reinvested in neighborhoods, one project at a time. UC Bank, building strong financial futures, one family, one street, one city at a time. Since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champagne. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champagne is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampagne.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Gold Jr. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Ow! Aaron Lemming hears this in his sleep. There's no doubt about it. He is writer for the Bear Report. He's our guy. Always nice enough to come on, and we warned him that we were going to do this when everything was said and done, and it is done. The Bears have hired Ryan Poles as their GM, Matt Eberflus as the new head coach. Aaron Lemming is here to chat both. How are you, buddy?
Doing good. How about you guys?
We're great. Can I ask you this before we get nitty-gritty here? Was that one of the best weekends of football you've ever watched? Incredible.
It was, and what was crazy is I kept seeing people all over my timeline on Twitter talking about how bad it was until that last game. It's like all the games were decided within one field goal. They were all last four games. It's like, what more could you ask for?
Well, it's Twitter, and therefore you have the ability to just say something so dumb and then hang your hat on it and say, well, I'm going to put this take out there that it's been bad football. It's like, it has? Like, nobody thinks it's been bad football. It was so entertaining.
It was. And, you know, honestly, the Packers lost. That made the entire weekend. Plus, I mean, well, right. At least at the time. Now, looking back on it, really didn't matter. But at least at the time, you're thinking, okay, you know, Tampa Bay loses. Buffalo loses. You're thinking, okay, all the hot commodity head coaches for the Bears are available to be hired. Obviously, that didn't end up being the case. But, yeah, no, I thought it was a really good weekend. I don't think I could be wrong. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I don't think that there's going to be a weekend for the rest, you know, whether it's this weekend or the Super Bowl, that's going to be able to top what we saw last weekend.
Good call.
Aaron, we finally have our answers.
Here we go.
Ryan Poles as GM, Matt Eberflus as the head coach announced today. I'm glad. I think the last time we talked to you mid-December, we didn't know for sure if Ryan Pace was going to get the boot. So I am reliving that and excited that we are here having this conversation. Let's start with the first domino, Ryan Poles being hired. I know that you really dove in on the GM candidates, and they interviewed a number of them. I think there was 12 or 13. Maybe they got interviews with the Bears. What did you make of that hire and the process that led to Ryan Poles getting that job?
Well, I'll tell you what, it definitely, at least on the surface in terms of what they did, man, it looked a lot different. I mean, they basically cast out a net of 16 guys, and then, you know, when it really came down to it, Rick Smith, I think it was JoJo Wooden, and I'm trying to think. I think the other one was Joe Ortiz. It's still, I don't got the list in front of me, so it's going to take me a minute to think about it. But those guys didn't end up getting interviews. But like you said, yeah, they had 13 people they brought in for interviews. And obviously Ed Dodds ended up backing out after his interview, and then Joe Shane got the job there in New York. But yeah, it was an exhaustive search. I think the one thing that really kind of played to their benefit this time around versus in previous years, what we've seen is the fact that they were able to do these on Zoom. So you can sit down for 2 or 3 hours with each candidate, you know, without having to fly them in, without having to do all this coordination, and really sit down and figure out, okay, you know, is this guy even worth bringing in, an in-person interview, the kind of the finalist. And you know, as we saw, you get down, you go from 13 guys down to three, at least the three finalists. Ryan Poles walks in the door, and he's the guy. And, you know, at least from everything that I'd heard, it sounded like they'd kind of zeroed in on him because he interviewed, I want to say it was last Friday. And after that interview, I mean, it was kind of, he seemed to be their guy. But at the same time, he was also Minnesota's guy. So, you know, Minnesota had two finalists, and, you know, he was going to be interviewed there on Wednesday, so they brought him in on Tuesday. Got the deal sealed, and here we are. But I think overall, when you look at the GM candidates, at least, I thought there was a lot of good GM candidates. I thought, you know, obviously it's a lot harder to gauge and it's a lot harder to tell overall, but I think the overall pool, just because there's so many different organizations out there and there's so many different levels to those organizations, whether it's on the college scouting side, whether it's on the pro personnel side, whether it's, you know, director of this or, you know, assistant general manager. And then you start looking at it, and it's like you look at the turnover for general managers, and it's much less. So I think there was just a lot more to pick from. I think they did really good with Ryan Poles, though.
I know there's only so much to go on in terms of what we know and the fact that he is a first-time GM. The fact that we know he's a relatively young guy, they coming from a great organization. Chiefs, of course, we would have said the same thing about Ryan Pace, who was hired in his 30s from the Saints. But what, looking at Poles' profile and being from the Chiefs organization, what encourages you about that, and what do you think the Bears can use from that to their advantage?
Well, I think the big thing with Ryan Poles is, yes, he was only with the one organization. I know a lot of people are liking that tie. You know, they got, you know, the first name is Ryan. They were with one organization. You know, you start going back and you start looking at their age and like, oh man, this feels kind of familiar. But really, when you start looking at the candidates themselves and you look at Ryan Poles especially, yes, he was with the same organization, you know, his entire career with the Chiefs, but at the same time, he was there through three different GMs, right? So you got Scott Pioli that was in there at one point, and then obviously Brett Veach now, and then John Dorsey in the middle of all that. So he has won, not only has he lasted through all of those organizational changes, and we're talking very, very different general managers when it really comes down to it, but you're talking about a guy that has kind of gone through the ebbs and flows of the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs have been a pretty successful organization during the time that he's been there for the most part. But, I mean, you're talking about, you know, a team going from, you know, staking everything with Matt Castle at quarterback to trying to figure things out, that all of a sudden, you know, you got Alex Smith in there, and then all of a sudden you draft Patrick Mahomes and you sit him basically the entire first year, to all of a sudden, you know, getting into the playoffs and having almost kind of like a Josh Allen-type moment with what we saw last weekend. I mean, the same thing happened with Patrick Mahomes. You know, the same exact thing where he didn't get an opportunity to go after it in overtime with Tom Brady, and then the next year they win the Super Bowl. So I think when you really start looking at who he's worked with, the different philosophies, how successful the organization has been, I think that a lot of that culminates into that. And the fact that, I mean, the three spots that he interviewed for, he was a finalist at every single one of them. I mean, this is somebody who clearly at least knows how to interview, but I think that really the overall resume speaks for itself, and it sounds like, especially over the last few years, he's had a really big say and what they've done in the draft. He's a former offensive lineman. I mean, they reworked their entire offensive line this last offseason.
Aaron Lemming is our guy for everything Chicago Bears. You can follow his work at the Bear Report and follow him on Twitter at Aaron Lemming NFL. Aaron, I'll admit, I'm probably like a bunch of other Bears fans out there, maybe oversimplified and thought, okay, I think we have our franchise quarterback in Justin Fields. I want the head coach to be an offensive guy. You look around the NFL, the divisional round even, and I think outside of Mike Vrabel, everybody else is an offensive-minded head coach, and that's just it's hard not to think and see Josh Allen, Mahomes, and Burrow and want an OC, or a OC maybe hired into that head coaching role. I was thinking Brian Daboll. Am I oversimplifying and looking at that way? How did you see it? And then to go the defensive route, what did you make of that with Matt Eberflus?
Well, no, I don't think it's an oversimplification at all, because, I mean, you know, all those teams that you just named, the only one that has a defensive-minded head coach was the Buffalo Bills with Sean McDermott. And I think a lot of people kind of forget, you know, with Brian Daboll, he was not a very popular hire when they hired him as their offense coordinator out of Alabama. It wasn't one of those moves where everybody's like, oh my God, they just got the next, you know, the greatest thing in the world. It was kind of one of those, a lot of people have wondered, you know, with a lot of, you know, Alabama OCs and everything else that go in and out there, it seems like every few years, where, you know, it's like, is this guy really going to be it? And obviously he ended up doing a really good job. They've got a really good support staff there. But yeah, I think when you look at the overall objective for what the Bears have, right, you know, you've got a decent defense that's aging, but really the entire key to this franchise comes down to maximizing what you have in Justin Fields. You traded up once again for another quarterback from a regime that was basically in a lame duck year. You have this quarterback who you think can be a really good player, and obviously you want to get the right head coach, and there has to be more focus on just, you know, just outside of just the offensive line part of it. But at the same time, you start looking at it, and I think that's where a lot of Bears fans are right now with, you know, with this Matt Eberflus hire, is who's going to be his offensive coordinator? Who is going to be that support staff? And if you have that support staff, how long is that offensive coordinator going to last? And I think that was kind of the question, even with a guy like Dan Quinn, when it seemed like all the rumors were pointing to him throughout the last few days, that was kind of the same question. You know, you had a guy in, you know, Kyle Shanahan at Atlanta, where, you know, everything went really well. And then all of a sudden, instead of promoting, you know, Matt LaFleur to the offensive coordinator spot, he turns around and he gets a guy like Steve Sarkisian. So, you know, it's just one of those things. Obviously, if you get the right head coach and you get that guy in the building and he knows what he's doing and he can build a staff, then you're probably going to be in pretty good shape. But as we've seen over the last few years, especially with a lot of these defensive-minded coaches, it's easier for them to go out and make the conservative hire for the offensive staff, whether that's quarterback coach, whether that's offensive coordinator, whatever that may be. It just seems like, especially when you're looking at the teams that are consistently in the playoffs and you're looking at their head coaches, a lot of these guys are offensive minds. And, I mean, even look at a team like Jacksonville Jaguars right now. I mean, they go out and they say, okay, we've got Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick in the draft. We're looking for a head coach. What do? They right away, they you know, they circled the boat and they said, you know, Byron Leftwich is our guy. And obviously that isn't done yet, but that's where it's trending. And it's just it's interesting when you go back and you look at their head coaching candidates as a whole in terms of who they brought in. It's like they had, I think they only interviewed, I don't have the list in front of me, but I think this number is right, 4 out of 10 guys they interviewed were offensive minds. And I understand, again, you're looking for the best overall head coach, but at the same time, you know, the biggest way that you're going to be able to, you know, kind of untap this talent they've got with Justin Fields is to have a good offensive mind.
Exactly. Which makes a lot of sense. All right, Aaron Lemming, Matt Eberflus in Indianapolis. What did you see from him? I know you've probably taken a deeper dive into this today than obviously I have. What were some things that, if you are excited about this hire, or maybe you have zero opinion about this, but you want to be inspired, what are some things that he was able to do in Indy that that you could put down as you know, some credible things as he takes over Chicago?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, I mean, just look at what he took over in Indianapolis, right? I mean, that defense was terrible when he took it over. And, I mean, they've been one of the best defenses over the last 4 years since he's been there. I mean, it's pretty incredible when you consider the fact that Josh McDaniels originally took that job. Josh McDaniels is actually the one who originally hired Matt Eberflus to be the defensive coordinator, where a lot of people were looking at it like, who is this guy? Yeah. He's in Dallas. He's a linebackers coach. You know, so it's, I think when you actually sit down and you look at what he's done defensively, there's a lot of merit there. And there's obviously a reason that he was interviewed. And don't get me wrong, I don't think this is a bad hire. I think it's more of an uninspiring hire. And who knows? Maybe that's going to work for the Bears because, you know, you look at a guy like Matt Nagy and a lot of people were like, oh, my God, the Bears just got the best head coaching candidate there is out right. there. Andy Reid called him the best offensive mind that he's ever worked with. And we saw how that worked out. But I think with Matt Eberflus, I think really what it comes down to is for a first-time head coach, he's obviously not old. But he's on the older side. He's already in his 50s. He's paid his dues. He started in college. He's been a linebacker coach in the NFL. He finally gets the job to be the defensive coordinator at Indianapolis, and he's just taken it over, and he's done a great job with it. I think he checks a lot of the boxes of what sure. the Bears are looking for. They wanted that straightforward leader that maybe you don't love him, maybe you don't like him that much, but you're going to follow him, and you're going to know exactly what you're doing. He's a detail-oriented guy. So I get it. I get why they made the hire. And again, it's not that I think it's bad because I really don't. I mean, there were a few other options, like a 67-year-old Jim Caldwell, who I don't think made a lot of sense for them. But it's going to be interesting just because of the optics of, going into this offseason, what are you going to do around Justin Fields? And I think that's the big question, especially with his coordinator hires and what he's able to do on the offensive staff. I think that's going to have a lot to do with how fans feel going into week one and, training camp and all that.
Aaron, on that note, do you know is of any connections that Ryan Poles might have or that Matt Eberflus might have in terms of pinpointing someone that would make sense as an OC?
Well, and that's interesting because that's something I've been kind of looking at all day too. And there are names. I know Ian Rappaport floated out the offensive quality. I can't even remember the guy's name right now. He's the offensive quality control. I'm like maxed out on all these names, just looking at everything from the Eagles. And I know, Mike Kafka has been kind of tied to him. And then Albert Breer was on, I think it was ESPN or Fox earlier. And he basically said something that the Bears are looking for a offensive mind that comes out of the Shanahan tree, which I think is great because I think really, when you look at, from an offensive standpoint, when you look at what Justin Fields is good at and what he's not, I don't think this quick strike, bunch of hitches, bunch of slants, have to get the ball out in 2 seconds. That's just not his game. So I think if you go to more of a Shanahan offense, I think one of the names that he mentioned was O'Connell, the offensive coordinator from the Rams, and obviously that would be a situation where Sean McVay would actually have to let him out of the contract. I know some people have been saying McDaniel as well, the offensive coordinator out of San Francisco. But again, when you're looking at guys that are actually going to be free or that can take promotions, I think that's where it gets a little bit more interesting because really, in terms of just Eberflus himself, he doesn't have a ton of connections just because, he's really hasn't been in the same place for too long. I do think really what this is going to come down to is I think this is going to be a lot more agent coordinated than anything else. Trace Armstrong is the agent for both Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. One name that kind of does stick out on that, although I'm not overly high, is Brady. Why am I drawing a blank on his first name? The
offensive helping.
Coordinator that was in Carolina. That
Joe, Brady.
Joe Brady. Joe. There we go. The one that, exactly. So he's somebody that I know people are making ties to, but I don't think there's really any solid connections quite yet. Really, it's kind of coming down to one of those things where I think, again, it's going to be a lot more agent connection oriented than it's going to be about who he knows or who he's worked with in the past.
Last one for you, Aaron. We appreciate your wealth of knowledge, as always.
You notice how I've just shut up because I'm just listening to you guys. I'm learning.
I'm just curious on your thoughts. This has been something that's been discussed a lot. The process of narrowing down the head coaching candidates prior to hiring the GM. In your opinion, was this a move that maybe Ryan Poles had three candidates that they, with Quinn, with Eberflus, and with Caldwell, that it was pick one of the three? The fact that maybe he didn't bring another name to the table, what did you make of that, and should Bears fans be frustrated by that?
Well, so here's what I have heard, and again, this is just through people that I network with and stuff like that. What I have heard is, and again, this is coming from the Bears side, is that Ryan Poles had full autonomy. He was the guy. He could basically hire anybody he wants. Yeah. Now, personally, the way it looks to me in terms of optics is that he probably came into his interview on Friday and said, okay, these are the guys that I would like to interview. These are some of the guys that I'd like to work with. And I think that from there, that's kind of where you got at least two of the three finalists, because I think Dan Quinn was an obvious connection. Matt Eberflus was also an obvious connection just because of the agent, you know, in terms of that. And then just the fact that they had talked over the last few years to become friends. Now, the Caldwell one was a little interesting. I think that was more Bill Polian oriented. I do wonder, honestly, I do wonder if a guy like Brian Flores, who was a college teammate of Ryan Poles at Boston College, I wonder if he was somebody that, you know, maybe Poles was interested in, that the Bears had interviewed, that said, no, he's too strong of a, you know, too strong of a personality or whatever it may be. My guess is there were probably other names that he would have liked to interview, but I do think, let's just put it this way. I think in a very worst case scenario, I think they basically said, okay, here are these names. If you want to expand out to some of these other approved names that we have, you can, but we would prefer you to hire from these, and then gave him, you know, basically the option to pick from those names. But let's just put it this way. It's not, because I know a lot of people are making this connection.
Sure.
I don't think that this is the Ryan Pace, John Fox thing, where Ryan Pace takes the job, John Fox loses his job a few days later, and Ernie Accorsi's sitting there in his ear like, hey, this is the guy, this is the guy, this is the guy. I don't think it was an arranged marriage, but I do wonder in terms of, you know, did he have more candidates that he wanted to interview? I do wonder that. So it'll be interesting, because if this thing fails, you know, at some point in time, all that stuff will come out,
yeah,
because it always does. But I don't think this was something forced by any means like it was with Ryan Pace and John Fox.
Information galore. He's a busy man. Aaron Lemming, writer for the Bear Report. Follow him on Twitter, at Aaron Lemming NFL. I always note there's one M in Lemming, not two. This morning I tried to make it two when I emailed Derek and Pipes, and I'm like, nope, it's one. I don't know why I keep doing that. Well, Aaron Lemming, you've been wonderful for us throughout this entire, the firings, the hirings. Now it's just a matter of it's going to get boring because the Bears don't even have a first-round draft pick. So now you got nothing to look forward to until opening day.
Yeah, well, they got the coordinator hires, and then I guess we'll see what they do in free agency. And, yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I think, and I've told you guys this before, I think this roster is going to look very different.
Yes.
And, I, you know, obviously with a new regime in there, I think it's going to look even more different than it was before. But they got a lot of decisions to make in the coming months.
You know, and without naming names, I guess, I mean, do you feel like, though, the Bears, I haven't looked at their cap situation, you feel like they're going to be pretty active, right, in the free agency front?
Yeah, well, I think they're going to be active because they have to be.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go out sign, you know, a bunch of massive deals. I mean, they're going to be sitting after they get up to the 51, you know, player minimum, they're going to be sitting right around $30 million.
Okay.
They'll be able to clear some space. I mean, the reality of it is, I mean, they got guys like Allen Robinson, Akeem Hicks, Bilal Nichols, all these guys are going to be free agents. And a lot of these defensive free agents, they're probably going to 4-3 again. So that's another thing that it's going to be very interesting to see where those ties with Matt Eberflus, with some of the, you know, some of these Colts free agents, you know, in terms of, because they're going to need to add at least two linebackers at this point. They're probably going to have to rework the defensive line. I think, let's just put it this way. I think they'll make plenty of moves. I don't know if many of the free agent moves will be long-term, and I would be pretty surprised if you're going to, you know, if you start seeing them hand out $15, $20 million a year to players.
Fair enough.
But I do think just because of the optics of the roster and the fact that they have 35 guys under contract, and there's going to be such a philosophy shift on both sides of the ball, I definitely think you're going to see quite a bit of movement.
Aaron Lemming, great stuff, my friend. We always appreciate it. We will talk to you maybe not soon.
Absolutely.
But down the road. How about that?
Yeah. I tell you this every time. Anytime you guys want me on, I'm always here.
And
I enjoy talking, so it's all good. I enjoy you guys. So you guys have a good rest of the day. And, again, thanks for having me on.
All right, buddy. That is Aaron Lemming, writer for the Bear Report, again, at Aaron Lemming NFL. I did a little research while you guys were chatting about Matt Eberflus, born in 1970. So he's my age. So drink, I guess, on that. You know, he's got a Missouri tie. He was Missouri's defensive coordinator Of course, Gary Pinkle, who used to be at Toledo, then went to Missouri and did some great things with the Tigers. He brought Matt Eberflus in as his defensive coordinator. And, of course, in the NFL, he's been the defensive coordinator of the Colts, linebacker coach for the Browns and Cowboys, and, of course, coached at Toledo and Missouri. So
you're telling me that we're going to have Chase Daniel as our backup once again.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. Any other Missouri guys out there you can think of?
Jeremy Macklin can come out of retirement.
There you go.
Brad sure, he's still
Smith.
Fast.
Yeah. Brad Smith could be
Brad
your
Smith.
Maybe your quarterback coach.
That would work.
Yeah. We're starting to piece it together right here. We know exactly what's going to happen here. Well, there is a lot of stuff going on. I didn't realize $30 million of cap space, so the Bears can do some things. And I like his thought. Like, it's not going to be tying up guys for a long time. It's 1 or 2 year deals trying to get better quick and while you develop Justin Fields, because it's all about getting something done when your quarterback is in that rookie contract. And if you don't, then all of a sudden your cap space becomes very tough because all of it is pushed towards the quarterback. You're either going to have to pay them more than you want to, or you're going to have to start over. And we understand what it's like to start over. It's not fun, and the Bears have been trying for a long time to get this right. So Matt Eberflus is your guy. Ryan Poles, the GM. Let's take a break. Mike Turk, director of track and field and cross country at the University of Illinois. His squad just finished second in the Illini Invitational last weekend. In fact, they had 18 event titles. So that is something that they were doing some domination there. They're going to be heading to Louisville this weekend. So we will visit with Mike Turk. Haven't talked to him in a while. We'll catch up with him when we return. It is The Drive.
Could you imagine sleeping outside in the winter cold in central Illinois? Hi, Rob Dahlhouse here with See You at Home, and this is a reality for so many of our friends without an address. Coming up on Friday, February 4th, we will host our annual One Winter Night community awareness event where we seek to raise anywhere between 50 and 66% of our annual budget. We know we could not do what we do without your incredible support, and I encourage you now through February 4th and even 2 weeks after the event, please visit seeyouathome.us and give your best gift today.
Jeff Facer on what Area-Wide Technologies does.
We are a full-service technology company that focuses on business-to-business solutions for our clients, and we handle everything from the security of your internet network and data to implementation and administration of these things, as well as the email and pretty much full service of anything that a business would need technology-wise.
To find out more, go to AreaWideTech.com.
They say warm hands, warm hearts. What do you do when you have cold feet, cold floors? You call Neverman Floor Artisans. Right now, you can get your heated floor system for 25% off. That's right, Neverman Floor Artisans. 25% off your heated floor system this month. Get to Neverman. Commercial and residential flooring, quality products. You can pick it up the same day. What are you waiting for? NevermanFloorArtisans.com or visit them just 9 miles south of Champaign on Route 45 in Tolono. When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. That's why State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is right here in Champaign-Urbana to help you select the right protection at the right price. Kurt will make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. Just call him when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Jay Layman here, former U of I All-American linebacker. Do you like steak? Do you like red meat? Well, if you do, you got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse. They had phenomenal steaks, sides, salads. I love the onion rings and the fried mushrooms as well as the fried pickles. You've got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown Gifford. That's right. Make the trip to Gifford for some of the best steaks you'll have. Kids love it too. I brought my whole family. I'll see you at Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford.
If you're looking for rapid COVID-19 or PCR testing, Campus Town Urgent Care has it. With a simple and efficient drive-through system, you can book your appointment at campustownurgentcare.com. Rapid PCR or antibody testing is available now, along with all vaccinations and booster shots. Campus Town Urgent Care is there for all your immediate health needs. Go to campustownurgentcare.com if you're looking for rapid COVID-19 or PCR testing. That's campustownurgentcare.com to book your appointment.
If you want a hand-cut, perfectly cooked filet, there's only one place to get it. The Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford. Customers rave about Donnie's filets. So tender that you can cut it with your fork. Don't go to an ordinary steakhouse. Choose Long Branch and have it your way. Join the many people who know that it's worth the trip. The Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown Gifford. And remember, there's always room for Long Branch.
A single mother needs car repair to get to a job. A child needs medical equipment that the parent can't afford. A grandmother needs food to help feed the grandchildren dropped off. When agencies call, Empty Tomb can say yes because church people want to help in Jesus' name. We also have a way through Mission Match to help our global neighbors whose children are dying. You can find out more at emptytomb.org. Together, we can change the world in Jesus' name.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Gold Jr. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
All right, it is The Drive with Sagan Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, talking all about the Bears and their hires. Of course, the big coaching hire today, Matt Eberflus, former Colts defensive coordinator. Good stuff. Chat with Aaron Lemming. We'll talk a little bit more about that next hour. Also, of course, the Packers with hiring Nathaniel. No, not the Packers. The Broncos hiring Packers OC, Nathaniel Hackett. So that starts the rumors, I guess, maybe not, of, is that where Aaron Rodgers is going? I know you, as a Bears fan, would be absolutely fine with that.
Be okay with it. Yep, absolutely.
Just get him in the AFC. I'm okay with having Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Rodgers. Herbert. Yeah, Justin Herbert. Get them all over there. At least they can beat us in the Super Bowl, but at least give us a shot to get there. It is time to talk some track and field, and some cross country, but we'll do track and field first. Mike Turk is joining us now, University of Illinois. How are you, Coach?
I'm good. How are you, Lon?
I'm doing great. It's been too long, and we apologize. It's been way too long since we visited. I noticed, I was looking today, 2012, 10 years at the U of I. Does it seem like 10 years?
Some days it seems like yesterday, and some days it seems like it's been 20 years.
Right. I totally get it. How does the squad, obviously a great showing. You finished second in the Illini Invitational last weekend, 18 event titles, including 12 running and 4 in the field. I mean, how's this team coming together, and how impressed were you expecting 18 event titles this past weekend?
Yeah, I'm really pleased with the way that the team is coming together, and we're progressing quite well. I think, last weekend we got second at our Invitational, and I think that falls squarely on me as the director. We probably took that meet a little too lightly, being an early season meet. We had, quite a few people that we didn't even have compete.
Oh, wow.
And we got caught, and that's a good thing for a young team to learn. I think it was a real good experience for us. As far as the thing that I'm really pleased about is we've got a lot of a good mix of older, experienced people. Our upperclassmen have been through a rough time. the pandemic's been hard
right.
for us and everybody. But we've got we brought some life in with some new kids this year. I wasn't sure how the recruiting class would turn out with all the restrictions we had last year, but we were able to add some really great people to our program. They're progressing well, And I'm really pleased with the way the team's come together. We're going to take, a few shots here and there. We've got a few holes to fill, but we're progressing quite well.
Coach, we talk about recruiting so much on our show when it comes to Illinois football, Illinois basketball, et cetera. And, I've always told Dan Hartlib, I've always said, I think baseball recruiting is the hardest because you can have a guy locked up, and then he gets drafted in the second round, and the guy you were counting on as your best pitcher for the next 3 years is gone. I can't imagine with all the spots that you have to fill on a track and field roster, how difficult is that for you to not only, go out and find the right people, but to just have to figure out, is it literally you just have a draft board that says, okay, we're good in the mile for the next 3 years. We don't have to worry about long distance, but we got to go, boom, boom, boom. I can't imagine what that's like developing a roster.
Yeah, it's a challenge. There are a lot of factors that go into it. I'm old school, so I absolutely keep a depth chart. And I do focus, you know, some coaches at this level like to put more attention to one or two areas than others. And I'm kind of old school. I love the sport holistically, so we try to spread the wealth, and that becomes a challenge.
But, sure.
You know, I keep a depth chart, and, you know, we look for our holes and try to fill those. And I think, you know, we've been with the women's program for a couple of years now, and we've got a real solid foundation of people that we've brought in that are performing well. And we still have some holes, and, you know, part of that is finding the right people, and also, you know, you have availability of scholarships and that sort of thing that comes into play. So it is something that demands constant attention, for sure.
Coach, I got to ask you about Kenley Nettles, the local product from Arthur, wins
awesome.
The Pentathon, which has the hurdles, the high jump, the shot put, long jump, and 800 meter. Number one, how demanding and grueling is that? I don't think that sounds too great for me and Lon.
I was never one of to run a pentathlon. No, keep me away from any of that.
And number two, just how impressive was her showing?
Yeah, I'm really happy with the performance Kenley have. I'm super happy for her. You know, it's been a local product, and she won a bunch of state titles. And, you know, she grew up coming to our track camps in the summer, and we certainly were interested in having her here at U of I. And she decided to go somewhere else and ended up having an injury and pretty significant hip injury. And, she came back last year, and our medical staff spent a lot of time working with her and bringing her back into play. And I'm just so happy for her that she's able to go out and compete again. I know that her performances weren't at the level that she's capable of, but it was a great step forward. And just to see her out on the track and smiling and having fun and believing in herself again is what it's all about. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to see how she progresses through the rest of the year.
As your team moves to Louisville this weekend for the PNC Invitational, what's important in building on the successes you had in the Illini Invitational, moving forward and trying to string that along?
You know, we're at that point in the year where, you know, we've got a couple meets on our belt, and we'll start seeing the performances, you know, improve now over the next couple of weeks. We're kind of in that mid-season form, but at the same time, it's really important for us right now to keep everybody healthy. You know, with COVID and just, you know, normal injuries, that's a challenge. And so right now our focus is really on the health and safety of our team and trying to keep them as healthy as we can so that they'll be ready to go, not just at the Big Ten in February, but really for a great outdoor season as well.
Yeah, and Coach, it seems like, you know, each year you guys usually have one or two that, you know, could do some damage at an NCAA kind of meet, you know, near the end in the finals. Do you have any of that, or are you still maybe a year away or so from somebody really sparkling on a national level?
No, we have that. We certainly do. And last year, you're right, Lon. We've been blessed to have some really outstanding people.
Always.
You know, last year, Dave Kinzera made the Olympic team, and, you know, that. But we do have a couple of kids, and we had, you know, of course, a lot of people know locally John Davis.
Yeah.
He's always a threat on the national level, and I'm really pleased with the progress he's shown as a student athlete in his time here. But Olivia Howell on the women's team, you know, last year John won the mile at the Big Ten Championships with a 1500 at the Big Ten Championships, and Olivia, the freshman, won the women's 1500 and went to the NCAA Finals, and she broke our school record. She is dynamite. She's definitely a diamond amongst a lot of jewels in our women's distance program.
Very cool. John Davis, the pride of Oakwood. Shout out to the Oakwood crew. Well, Coach Turk, it is always great to catch up with you. Director of Track and Field and Cross Country at the U of I. You can follow Coach on Twitter at Coach M Turk. Great to catch up. We won't wait as long next time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, Lon. Look forward to talking to you again.
All right, buddy. Mike Turk, great job. I cannot imagine the overwhelming responsibility he has trying to field both the men and women and track and field and cross country. I mean, can you imagine? That is a lot of work to do that. And it's nice when you can uncover some local talent like a John Davis from Oakwood. And as you mentioned, Kenley Nettles from Arthur. I mean, it's great when you've got the local talent around here that's going to step up and do some damage at the collegiate level. Good stuff there.
All right. Pentathlon.
I said pentathlon.
You don't even want to compete, and I can't even say it.
You were thinking of pentatonics. Of course, the group
I don't
that
know what I was thinking.
Yeah, listen, welcome to doing a radio show, right? That's where we every day. I've made the most of mistakes on a daily basis. All right, more Bears talk next hour. Also, Trev's ticket. Plenty to do. Stick around. It's a drive.
This hour of The Drive with Tay and Piper is brought to you by Ryan Dallas Real Estate.
Planning to sell your home? The choice is clear. Ryan Dallas Real Estate, number one in homes sold, number one in client satisfaction. With a home sold every 9 hours, Ryan Dallas Real Estate, online at RyanDallasRE.com.